Well, good morning. So glad you're here, that you were able to get here. Just with the storms this last week, was making some calls to see if everybody in our body was okay, if there was any of your neighbors, our neighbors, that needed assistance. And yeah, there was hail and there was water, but the Lord was gracious, and it appears that nothing catastrophic. So we praise him for that, and we are putting together a team to go and assist those families who need hands and feet to remove debris, that need to shovel away mud from your homes. We want to come and do that. We want to serve in that manner. The only problem is that we're not really big, so it's not happening in an instant. But we want to get people on the schedule that need assistance, need help, and we want to get our teams there to help. So if you and we're going to prioritize members of the body first. We know of three families that could use assistance, but then those who are not a part of our body but a part of our community that the Lord loves, nonetheless, we want to go and serve them too. So if you have somebody in mind that you want to just serve, we'll get them on the schedule to get their house dug out, washed out, cleaned out, prayed over. Also, family ministry, you've noticed we have family service today. Children are up with us, and I'm so thankful for it. As we start our series, it's just a three-week series, and it's called Clarity, where we're going to visit the vision of our church, our vision for ministry, and that's Be, Make, Send. You may see it on the back wall, and today we're gonna talk about it, because all things become clear at the cross of Christ. What our purpose, our reason for being, all comes clear at the cross of Christ. And so we're going to look at that for the next 3 weeks. Be, make, send. And family ministry, family service today, because we were uncertain of how many volunteers would be able to make it here. And so we want to make sure that everybody could come, sit under the word, and not feel pressured to drive through debris and be unsafe. So, but being a disciple of Christ, it doesn't matter the age. All can choose to follow Jesus at any time. So we are going to be in the Bible in two places. We're going to be in Acts 2 to start, and we're going to spend the majority of our time there, but also put a marker, put a bookmark, something in Matthew chapter 4, because we're going to jump over there for just a moment as well. Acts 2, and we're actually just looking at one verse in Acts 2, Acts 2:42. And then we're going to flip on over to Matthew chapter 4. We've titled this short three-week series Clarity because today, to now, is an exciting time in the life of our church. Our church is growing, and people are joining us for Bible study on Sunday mornings, and we continue to grow. Women's and men's ministry are continuing to grow, and as Dawn and Jenny establish their vision for the direction that the Lord's leading them in, there's a new direction for those ministries, and we're excited about them, and we're praying for them. Our youth are in Mexico for the first time. The trip left yesterday, and I saw on the faces of our youth a level of anxiety that I hadn't seen before. They were hours away from departing from DIA, flying to a country that they've never been to, not knowing what to expect. And it's an exciting thing for our youth to gain some perspective. We have it good here in the United States, and to go and see the way others live around the world. But guess what? The body is united throughout the world. We're all united under the banner of Christ, under Jesus Christ and him crucified. There's clarity at the cross. And so we're excited about what's happening in youth ministry. In just a couple of weeks, VBS is kicking off. Family VBS, where we gather in fellowship for a time in the Word, a devotional time in the Word as adults. And the army of volunteers will pour into our little ones downstairs, and we'll fellowship over a meal together, and we'll just really enjoy those 3 days in the middle of the week. And so there's lots of exciting things happening. And so we thought it was the perfect time to revisit our purpose as the body of Christ here in Ellicott. And if you've been with us for just a short amount of time and you just started coming, I can't tell you how blessed we've been by your presence, that you come and join us in our body. And we just want to hopefully connect you with the heart of this church, what our purpose is for being. But even if you've been coming for a long time, if Ellicott has been your church home for a season or two or six, that you would be renewed in your calling to take the gospel right to wherever the Lord has you. So would you pray with me this morning, then we'll get into God's word. Father God, Lord, we do thank you for calling. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful, that you water the earth and you bring forth life. And Lord, we see your plan of redemption in everything that that is around us, Lord. We see your glory declared by the mountains and by your creation. And Lord, would you be glorified in us? Lord, would we connect our hearts with yours as we seek your face this morning? Would you join us through your spirit as we spend time in your word? And Lord, would you be blessed in this place? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are starting the book of Judges in 3 weeks. After this short series, we're going to go through the book of Judges. For the first time, we are going to divert from the central campus. They're going to be going through the book of Acts. We're going to be going through the book of Judges, and the Lord has just been leading me to bring the word as what happens when we walk contrary to God's ways. But through the book of Judges, although it's difficult, although it's challenging, I read through the book of Judges years ago, and I said, wow, how would this ever happen in a culture? That's impossible. And then I watch it taking place in our own culture. And the theme is the sin cycle, where God's people rebel, but then he brings rebuke, correction, then they repent, and he restores them, and then they go right back, rebel, rebuke, repent, restore. And you can see that same cycle of God's faithfulness when his people will return to him. And I encourage you, read ahead in the book of Judges. Read it through, see what the Lord would show you in your own quiet time, then we'll come together and we'll study it corporately. But we all understand how easy it is for us to get off track, don't we? To get so sidetracked by tight schedules and the busyness of life that we miss out on experiencing the life that the Lord has for us within the midst of it all. It's so easy to put your nose to the grindstone and just put your head down and move and miss everything that's happening around you, isn't it? Well, it's just as easy for a church to get off track as well, to become so overextended and so consumed by activity that we lose sight of our eternal purposes. And that's exactly what we're doing this morning, to not be doing things for the sake of doing things, but to connect with God's heart and to pursue his purpose within our lives. And that's the purpose of our vision here in Ellicott, is to provide a filter for making decisions, a filter for pouring into God's people. And we believe our vision aligns with Scripture. Be, make, send. Be disciples of Christ. Make disciples of Christ. And send disciples of Christ to make disciples of Christ. To share the good news of Christ with the entire world. And he called us not to be church attendees. He didn't call us to say, go therefore and fill buildings with people who love me. He said, go therefore and make disciples. And we have to be disciples first. And so that is our focus this morning. And our desire is that each person that is here this morning, each person that comes into contact with RMC would respond to the invitation of Christ and as he calls us to be followers of him. And that doesn't mean just once, a one-off, I'm a Christian and gone, but always to respond to the invitation of Christ to follow his lead in what he's doing in your life. And it will change from season to season. And you'll be called into and out of seasons, but our desire is that we would all respond to Christ's invitation as we seek to be disciples of him. Acts 2 and 42 in your Bible, if you'll just, I encourage you to highlight it and then underline the three aspects of this verse. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Much is recorded about the early church throughout the book of Acts, but Acts 2:42 tells us that the church continued steadfastly in these three things. First, they were committed to the apostles' doctrine. And the apostles' doctrine, which means they were committed to the Word of God, to the Old Testament, and to the new, which the Lord gave by revelation to the apostles of Christ. And we believe here at RMC in the sufficiency of Scripture for all of life's circumstances, all of them. It's sufficient for instruction. It's sufficient for correction. It's sufficient for reproof, for everything. There is not a circumstance that you will find yourself faced with that God's word does not have a sufficient answer and clarity for. So when you come into this building, you can expect to hear these words. I hope you always hear these words. Please open up your Bible. Open up your Bible with me. We want to get into God's word every time we interact in this place. And our hope is that you bring your own Bible each week, that it's marked up with your study, with your personal time with the Lord. And if you don't have a Bible, we want to give you one. We want you to have a Bible that you can take and that you can spend time with the Lord each week in your quiet time. We are not opposed to technology. If you want to use a tablet, if you want to use a smartphone, pull up your favorite Bible app and follow along. The desire is that when we get into God's word from this pulpit, when we get into God's word in women's ministry or men's ministry, that you will enter into God's word with us, that we will all hear it together, because we love studying the entire counsel of God, don't we? We love studying the entire counsel of God. That is why we choose a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We skip nothing. When the book of Judges brings up this hard reality, I'm like, how on earth can a culture get to there? That's impossible. We're not going to skip it. We're going to look at it. When we're going to look at the hard truths of Scripture that all must believe and those who don't will perish, we're going to look at it and we're going to talk about God's plan of redemption and his provision. But we're not going to skip the hard things within Scripture. God has included it for our benefit. So we're going to pursue God's instruction and his wisdom. It's the word of God. It's his love letter to us. It's his instructions before leaving earth, right? You've probably heard that. So our first point this morning, as disciples of Christ, we take our lead from God's word. We take our lead from the word of God. And with that, it is our desire to equip you to take in and feast on the word of God for yourself. We teach chapter by chapter and verse by verse each Sunday, and there's no doubt you can look at that and say, I could do that. I can read the word of God for myself at home. And that's our desire, is that you would do that. Not only that you would come and sit under teaching, but you would go home, and men, that you would lead your families, that you would be the spiritual leader in your home. And when your kids have a question, when your wife has something that she's dealing with, wives, moms, that you can lead your children through the word of God, that it's sufficient for everything you're going through, that he provides an answer. The Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher there is. And he dwells inside his church and his body of believers. The Bible is not available to the pastor only, or only to those on staff at a church. It's available for you, and I encourage you to purpose within yourselves to establish a quiet time. Establish a time that you set aside to seek the Lord and his word. And if you're anything like me, you have these great gargantuan plans of what it has to look like. And then if something throws you off track, you have to start over at the beginning. Like, ah, my plan's messed up. Starting back over, and you never really get there. Be patient with yourself. The purpose is not to read through the Bible in a year. If that's what the Lord has called you to do, great. Read through the Bible in a year. If it takes you 5 years, if it takes you 10 years, and if it takes you until the Lord calls you home, praise the Lord, so be it. Pursue the Lord in his word and see what he has for you. And don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. There's a study out there that says that 95% of Christians have read Genesis. And 70% have read Exodus. 40% at Leviticus. And it just keeps dropping off. Well, it is 66 books. But remember, it's one collection, but it's 66 different books, 35 different authors. They're all standalone, and they all say, they all speak to the same thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified. So if you have to start in the Gospel of John, by all means, start in the Gospel of John. It's in the middle back, and that's okay, because you can start here, and it still makes sense. Right? Or if you want to start in Genesis and then you get to the law and you want to go on somewhere else, that's okay. Stop playing this comparison game that we're so apt at doing. Stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. Vanessa and Josh have no interest if you keeping up with them. Their heart, I'm certain, right, Josh, is that you would just be in the Word of God for yourself. Our purpose is to meet with the Lord and see what he can do with what little we have to bring. What do we have to bring to the creator of the universe? The one who speaks everything into existence. The one who, oh, he has a thought and he can bring it to pass. Well, are we really doing him a favor by getting into his word? No, we're providing blessing for ourselves to draw near to our Lord, draw near to our King and see what he has to say to us. The second thing Acts 2 and 42 tells us is that the early church was committed to what? To relationship, fellowship in the breaking of bread, making time to spend with one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, with fellow believers to talk about the things of God. Spending time with one another and talking about what are the circumstances of your life? What are you going through? The Christian life is difficult already. With all this figuring out how to die to myself and walk in newness of life, well, I can't do that. I need the Holy Spirit to do that. But the Christian life is tough enough by itself. It becomes exponentially more difficult without fellowship with fellow believers, without those beside us to encourage us in our relationship. The New Testament uses this phrase throughout, and if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write it down, one another. The New Testament uses this phrase, one another. A quick search in my preparation yielded 46 instances of one another in the New Testament as I just searched it in a Bible app. Love one another. Be affectionate toward one another. Honor one another. Prefer one another. Receive one another. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, and let us consider one another, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another as so much the more as you see the day approaching. Our habit in the busyness of life, our habit in the discouragement of life is to withdraw from the body, put our nose to the grindstone and just move forward. But the Lord says, do not forsake assembling together with one another. And so much more as we see the day approaching. I need to be encouraging you, and I need you to be encouraging me to keep going. Keep walking. Keep pursuing the things of the Lord. Because the easiest thing to do is walk away and just, it's just about me. I can have a relationship with the Lord without the body of Christ. Yes, you can. And your salvation doesn't change. But are you walking in the power? Are you being a disciple? Are you doing the things the Lord called you to without the encouragement of the body? Let me encourage you, keep assembling, keep gathering. We all need a place to gather with one another. Our second point this morning, as disciples of Christ, we need to pursue relationship with one another. As disciples of Christ, pursue relationship with one another. And it doesn't matter where that comes from. It may be through a ministry here at RMC. It may be through a connect group, through men's ministry, through women's ministry. It may be in your service as an usher, a child. Maybe you get your fellowship and your relationship with other believers there. That's wonderful. It doesn't have to be. Maybe you have fellowship with your neighbors who are Christians and you gather together to encourage each other. Maybe your relationship with other believers is in the place that you work. We need to be in relationship with other believers. And we need to encourage each other as we sojourn through this life together. Because church, it's hard. It's hard. Life throws us a curveball. And we need brothers and sisters to come alongside and encourage us, even in the darkest hours. The final thing that Acts 2:42 tells us is that the early church was committed to prayer. We need to be a praying church. Amen? Amen. Our third point, as disciples of Christ, we fellowship with him in prayer. We fellowship with the Lord in prayer. Prayer is an important part of the Christian life. It is the way that we communicate with the Lord. It's a way that we praise him. And to really understand the purpose of prayer, we need to understand what it is not. Because many believe that prayer is simply about asking God for things, asking God to do something. And although there is a part of prayer that is supplication in making our requests known to the Lord, it is not the sole purpose. Prayer is not bargaining with God. Prayer is not making demands of God. It is not a therapeutic meditation type exercise. There's a person on the other end of our prayer. Prayer is not bothering God and taking up his time. He longs to hear you. Do you believe that this morning? That when you draw near to him, that he will draw near to you. Prayer is not a way to control the Lord. He's not a genie that responds to our wishes, nor is he controlled by our prayers. In my opinion, the best way to learn about what prayer is to look at the prayer life of Jesus. Because countless times within the New Testament, we see Jesus, probably not countless, I bet you could count them, numerous times, we see Jesus depart from his disciples, withdraw from the crowd, and go alone by himself to be in fellowship with the Father. Repeatedly within the Gospels, we see Jesus demonstrate this. Listen to his prayer in John 17, verses 20 through 23, as he prays for all believers. He's praying at this moment for you and for me. I do not pray for these alone, speaking of his disciples, the apostles, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Have you established a quiet time? Let me encourage you. Tomorrow morning, get up and read John 17. Jesus' prayer to the Father for his disciples, for all believers ever who will ever believe. Jesus prays not only for the Father to be glorified, but for the disciples and all those who will ever believe. He prays for strength to submit to the Father's will. He prays to walk according to God's word, and he intercedes on behalf of others, that they would see him and that we would have unity with the Father, that we would draw close to one another, that we would have unity amongst each other as they have as the Lord Jesus and the Father have unity, as well as to draw close to God in relationship, just to be in his presence. Typically, those who have a relationship with one another, do you know what they do? They talk to one another. Prayer is communicating with our God. But ultimately, the purpose of prayer is an act of worship. It's acknowledging who he is. It's acknowledging that I have no control over the circumstances of my life, and I need to draw near to the one who does. It's acknowledging what he's done, that the veil has been torn, and that those who trust in him can come right into the throne room of God, to his throne of grace, to find grace in time of need. Amen? Prayer is recognizing him and what he's done. It's an act of worship. And our focus in prayer is seeking who God is, not ourselves. But here's the problem. If we simply follow the practices of the early church, if we simply continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, if we simply continue in fellowship and in prayer out of obligation, as opposed to following after the Lord to hear his voice in response to his grace and his goodness, we've missed the point. I don't want you to hear a heavy burden this morning. I don't want you to hear a checklist of tasks in order to become a better Christian. Well, in order to be a Christian, I have to read my Bible, I have to hang out with Christians, and I have to pray. I don't want you to hear that this morning. If that's the case, we're simply wasting our time, and we're just simply practicing dead religion. Israel had the temple, and they went through the religious rituals with their hearts detached from the heart of God, not seeing his purpose and his provision and his love in it all, and they were empty. I want you to hear that being a disciple of Jesus Christ is rooted in God's glory, in his grace and his goodness. I want you to hear that being a disciple is a personal invitation from the Lord to you to become one of his followers. I want you to hear that God loves you and wants to use the life he's given you to impact a generation for his name. Turn with me in your Bibles over to chapter 4 of Matthew, please. To a seemingly benign, not earth-shattering section of Scripture, yet it means everything. Chapter 4 of Matthew, beginning in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He saw them. Church, I assure you that he sees you. You do not escape his gaze, no matter how much you may want to hide from him. He sees you. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," he says. My kids and I, we love fishing. We love every part about it. We love getting ready with the excitement the night before of getting up early and traveling to whatever lake or river or pond we're going to fish, maybe out here next Saturday, okay? We love the lapping of the water or the stream as it's running by, the idea of casting out your line and that unmistakable, not the weed that you caught on the other side that just bends your pole, but that unmistakable wiggle of a fish online, right? You know it. But for years, we would go out fishing, all the anticipation and the excitement to go and fish, and we would come back with nothing. For years. Jessie told me, she said, "When you finally catch a fish, it's going to be the most expensive fish anybody has ever eaten." Right? Yeah. Because every year I'd buy a fishing license, and I had to upgrade my tackle. And I had to get better lures and better bait and a better pole. And I had to, for some reason, I had to have a fishing hat and those ugly fishing vests that Braden and I wear. We love them. And we just gonna do it. But the problem is we didn't know what we were doing. We looked the part, but we had no understanding of how to fish. We loved the idea of fishing, and every time we came home empty. And in my pride, I kept going and fishing without knowing what I was doing. Until I came to a friend of mine who always caught fish. We would go fishing together, and he would catch fish, and I would catch weeds. And so I asked him, "Can you tell me how to fish? Can you show me what you're doing so that I can take my kids out, we can catch fish?" Guess what? We bring home fish today. We only catch trout, but I think that's all that there is in the water. But we had to be taught how to fish. We could love the idea of fishing all we wanted, but until we learned how to do it, we remained unsuccessful. Well, the men that Jesus called were fishermen already. They knew how to bring in fish to feed their bellies. But Jesus was interested in feeding their souls. Listen to the interaction between Jesus and his disciples after Jesus meets with the woman of the well in John chapter 4, and then the disciples return, and they say in John 4, 31 through 34, "In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat of which you do not know.' Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' And Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men.' My food is to do the will of the one who sent me." He extended an invitation to these sinful men, ordinary people like you and me. He extended an invitation: follow me, be my disciple, and I will make you fishers of men. I will teach you, and you can learn from me. It was a personal invitation. He taught them as they walked with him for 3 years. Our final point this morning: discipleship, being a disciple, is a personal invitation. It's available for whomsoever will take the Lord at his word and follow him. Why the apostles' doctrine? Because the apostles walked with him, and they were taught by him. He has the words of eternal life. Because the word of God is living and powerful. Why the apostles' doctrine? Because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. That is a fine blade. Piercing joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's word searches us out. By the power of his spirit, he reveals our own hearts to us, and he says, "Be a follower. I will make you fishers of men. I will clear away the junk, and I will call you to new life." Why fellowship? Why fellowship in the breaking of bread? Because in seasons of discouragement and in the seasons of trial, it is so easy to walk in doubt and unbelief, isn't it? We all need brothers and sisters in Christ who will point us back to the Lord. No, remember the faithfulness of our God. Remember the price he paid on the cross. We all need brothers and sisters to remind us of the magnitude of his grace. His broken body that was broken for us. His blood that was shed for the remission of sins, so that whomsoever believes might be saved and have everlasting life. Everything becomes clear at the cross of Christ, doesn't it? Why prayer? Because the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Because it's not in us to walk according to the will of God apart from the power of his spirit. Because it's beyond our capacity to persuade the hearts of men and women to lay their lives down for the life and receive the life that Jesus has for them. Because when we draw near to God, he draws near to us. He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. church, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's not a list of tasks. It's being taught by him, being tutored by him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and he's done everything necessary for us to come into his presence and have relationship with the God of the universe. That's who we worship this morning. That's who we worship in our prayer. That's who we worship in our song. That's who we worship as we draw near to hear his voice and fellowship with one another in the breaking of bread. God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why prayer? Because of who God is. Because who he created us to be. And because he's been so good to us. And maybe you know Christ as Savior, but you have never accepted his invitation to be his disciple. See God's goodness and grace in your life. See his faithfulness and kindness, his forgiveness through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Maybe you haven't trusted the gospel. Maybe you haven't come to see your individual need for forgiveness. You haven't seen the need for Christ, for somebody to die for your sins. Would today be the day that you trust Christ for salvation? You may have not known it until this very moment, but the thing that you're looking for, the thing that you're longing for, the thing that you've always been longing and looking for is Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord for a really long time, and you've lost sight of his grace and his goodness. Be reminded by his invitation to you to be his disciple of his favor in your life, his goodness towards you, and be reminded that he desires to be with you. We're all in different places in this process of sanctification. Some are further down the road. Some are just getting started out. But God promises that he's the one that finishes the work. Are we his followers? Are we his disciples? I looked at the mission team as they left for Mexico yesterday. And Thor was among them. Thor, been walking with the Lord for decades now. Been to Uganda, been to Mexico, been all over the world for the Lord. Steady as a rock. Whatever was coming, the Lord was right there and Thor was walking it out. Juxtaposed with RJ, his son-in-law, whose first time going and leading a team. A little higher, a little lower, a little more flex in his step. And then the teens. I didn't see excitement except for from one of them. Terrified. What are we to expect? And then the Lord met them in a wonderful way. And they called their parents last night and said, "It's so awesome." You don't have to look to the person to your right to see what God's doing in their life to know what you're supposed to be doing. Seek out the Lord in his word and in prayer. Hear of his faithfulness in the lives of other believers. Take encouragement in fellowship. Be a disciple and see what the Lord won't do with it. We're all in this together, and we're going to continue it until the Lord brings us home. And if he tarries any longer, maybe not. But I hope you're encouraged this morning. I invite the worship team back up. And would you pray with me? Father God, Lord, we do thank you for purpose. Lord, and this is man's all to glorify God and to love him forever. Lord, you extend an invitation to each one of us to know you, to know the power of your resurrection, to be moved by your spirit, to be impacted by your life. Lord, and there is certainly wrestling here this morning, wrestling in our flesh and with your spirit back and forth of what you're calling us to do. But Lord, you make it so clear. Follow me. And Lord, would you wrestle with us this morning and win? Would you wrestle with those who have forgotten about your goodness and bring them back to a place of seeing your grace and your glory? Would you wrestle with those who have never surrendered to you? And would you bring them to that place of need and desperation before your throne of grace this morning? Lord, you are mighty to save. You long to save each and every one of us. And in your mercy and your grace, you give us a choice. Lord, wrestle with us and win. Be our God and our King. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're wrestling in anything, if you're wondering what God has for you in this next season, where you should go, what steps you should take, enter into fellowship with somebody, enter into prayer, worship the King, and expect that he'll meet you in that place. We have prayer teams up front. We have prayer teams in the back. We long to pray with you. We want to be a praying